views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from sunny, a little bit hazy Seattle, looking at the beautiful snow-covered Olympic Mountains today. It's absolutely beautiful out right now. And I'm sure the weather will change. You probably talked about that at the top of the hour, Benny. Anyway, wherever you're listening from, we're going to have a fabulous conversation. Whatever weather you're experiencing, I know we have listeners from, and I've documented this, over 65 countries worldwide. We're here on KKNW at Hubbard Radio here in the Seattle area. You may be listening on WBLQ, AM 1230 in Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, at one of the, 30-some-odd stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us because we're going to be talking about something that affects everybody. And my guest today has some wonderful insights and tips for you to help shift your life. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
It's a hawks flying over the sunshine. Yes. It's a beautiful day here.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
And it's good to see you and hear you. And how was your St. Patrick's Day?
My St. Patrick's Day was out on Orcas Island.
Ooh.
And it was a busy day, mm-hmm. but wonderful. I mean, it's just so gorgeous out in the San Juan Islands. For those of you who don't live in this area, the San Juan Islands are like a gift of the world. We have people traveling from all over the world to go to the San Juans because it's protected waterways. In fact, Benny, I've heard it's the most miles of protected waterways in the world.
No kidding.
Yes.
I should know that.
Yeah.
But now I do.
Right. And it's an area where they don't allow jet skiers, the noisy kind of stuff.
I can see that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just serene and beautiful. So it was nice to be out
there. So great way to take in the holiday.
Yes, it was. Good. I wore green. Did you wear green?
Of course I did. I've got pictures to prove it.
Good.
And no green tongue. I didn't participate in very many green libations just because I'm a little under the weather this week. So
sorry to hear that.
I can always make up for it this weekend.
Yeah, you
They'd
can.
Be like, what are you doing?
It doesn't have to be green either, Benny.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it does. I'm like, what are you doing with the green? I was like, leave me alone. I'm trying to make up for lost time.
Well, you know, before we get into this conversation, I just wanted to share a quick announcement. You may have heard me on the Dr. Pat Show recently talking about the top 10 spiritual myths. I've got a list that will surprise some of you. There's certain concepts out there that people think are true, the norm, you know, spiritual truths. And I take them on one by one. And if you're interested in listening to that show, go to ChristineUpchurch.com. You can listen from there. Also, make sure you're signed up to my newsletter because I'm starting a series of blogs on these spiritual myths. And I think that they're really important for anybody who's on your spiritual path. If you're on your path, then you need to tune into this or read these because it's going to shift your perception. Okay, enough of all the chit-chat and announcements. I'm really excited about my guest today. We are having Christine times two, because her name is Christine Hassler, and she is the author of several books, 20-something, 20 Everything, the 20-something Manifesto, and the new national bestseller that's a very fascinating book, Expectation Hangover, Free Yourself from Your Past, Change Your Present, and Get What You Really Want, and it was recently released in a paperback version. You know, she is from Hollywood. You know, she left a successful job there as a Hollywood agent because she wasn't happy and she decided that she wanted to pursue a life that she felt passionate about. And she has began to not only express herself in new ways, but to help change the world. For over a decade, she has been sharing her passion to ease the suffering here by being a speaker, a retreat facilitator, and a life coach. And she believes that once we get out of our own way, we can show up to make the meaningful impact we are here to make. And, you know, her book, Expectation Hangover, has gotten lots of, you know, wonderful things said about it. Let's see. Alyssa Rankin, she's fabulous in her own right. She says, if this book has landed in your lap, consider it a sign from the universe that you're ready to press fast forward. You will be guided through your expectation hangover with love, compassion, and sensitivity. I'd like to welcome today's guest, Christine Hassler. Hi, Christine.
Hello. Always great to talk to another Christine.
I know. It's funny because every once in a while there'll be a name I really have a hard time pronouncing. In fact, I think last week was it the last name was Dobrovolsky. Yes. And
Wow.
So, but you've got an easy name and the first name. I don't even have to think twice about, you know, what's her first name? So, yes, it's nice to talk to another Christine.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm kind of curious about your transition. When somebody leaves Hollywood, you know, which is a glamorous life in some ways, it's a wonderful place. It's exciting. What actually motivated you to step out of the role as an agent?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily motivated me. It was kind of like I hit rock bottom in a lot of ways in terms of my career. I was one of those people that always had a plan. I was extremely driven and a massive overachiever to compensate for incredible insecurity I had since I was a child.
Right.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You don't feel like you're enough in some way. You just become a doer.
Uh-huh.
And your sense of worth is often dependent upon what you can achieve. And so if you're insecure and you have something to prove, Hollywood's the perfect place to go and build a career. So I kept checking off the boxes. You know, I kept getting to a place where I achieved things, I made the money, and I lived in when-then. You know, I thought, you know, when I'm finally promoted to an agent, then I'll be happier. When I make this amount of money, then I'll be happier. When this fancy Hollywood guy is my boyfriend, then I'll, you know, feel good about myself. And the formula just didn't work. And I remember one day riding up in the elevator, and I just hated going to work. I would have knots in my stomach every Sunday night.
Oh, dear.
And
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
A lot of people can relate to that. And also the guilt of, wait a second, like, this is what I work so hard for. How can I not like this?
Right.
And, oh, no, my plan A is always work. I don't have a plan B. It's not like there was a backup plan, you know, that I had ready to fire up. So riding up in the elevator one day, one of the women that was a leader in the company, who I guess kind of was my mentor, but women really didn't mentor each other in that business.
That's sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. She got a text from her nanny, and the text said her daughter said her first word. And she's like, oh, my daughter said her first word. And her assistant said, oh, what was it? And she said, oh, it's Ola, because she's with the nanny more than she's with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me, and I have nothing against working mothers. If I have children on my own, of my own, I know I will still work. However, it was like the disconnection she said it with, that I saw myself going down that road of being cold, disconnected, stressed out all the time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I just was becoming, I don't know if I can say the word, but, you know, the B word. I was becoming that. And that was the day I decided to leave. And I wish I could say I left and everything was roses, but then I went into thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt. I was estranged from my family. I got diagnosed with an undiagnosable autoimmune disorder, and I got dumped by my fiancé 6 months before my wedding. And this all happened in about 7 months.
Wow.
So that was my dark night of the soul, as my friend Lisa Rankin likes to say.
Yes, yes, yeah. So, Christine, you've been writing about and speaking about and coaching people about expectation hangovers. What is an expectation hangover?
Well, I made up the term, so that's why you haven't heard it. It's when one of three things happens. Either a desired result is not met, the desired result is met, but you don't have the feelings you thought you would. Like, I had my fancy Hollywood career, but I didn't have the feeling that I thought I would have from it. Or just life just throws you an unexpected curveball. Uh-huh. Everything from something minor like getting a speeding ticket mm-hmm. to getting diagnosed with an illness or getting broken up with or losing your job.
Right. So, you know, you've written an entire book about it. And the subtitle is Free Yourself from Your Past, Change Your Present, and Get What You Really Want. So, you know, there must be some gift in this thing called an expectation hangover, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. People think the book is about managing expectations, and uh-huh. it's not.
Uh-huh.
You know, the happiness is not dependent on managing our expectations or lowering our expectations.
Okay.
Really, that comes later. The book is really about using disappointment as an opportunity to heal. Because as a life coach and spiritual counselor for the past 12 years, people don't come to me and say, Christine, my life is just amazing. Mm-hmm. I have everything I want. And I just thought we'd chit-chat. Something has happened. mm-hmm. Something has happened. You know, they've had an expectation hangover of some kind. They're not where they want to be in life. Something has happened to them that they can't get over. They're disappointed or they're frustrated or they're confused. And mm-hmm. it is those moments that provide the doorway of opportunity for transformation. And any disappointment in our present has a tie into our past.
Okay.
You know, it's like my heartbreak in my life, in my romantic life, it stems from, you know, the I Hate Christine Club starting in fourth grade mm-hmm. when rejection became one of my core wounds.
Right.
And we keep kind of repeating the same expectation hangover over and over again, just with a different cast of characters and a different situation mm-hmm. until we hear the core issue. So why I wanted the book to, you know, heal your past, change your present, get what you really want is because we don't just heal the past in terms of the expectation hangover we're working on right then.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an opportunity to heal the theme, you know, the issues that this brings up that we've been carrying around possibly for decades.
Right.
Because, you know, one of the reasons I went back and got my master's degree in spiritual psychology, in addition to be trained as a life coach, is mostly life coaches help people with their present and their future.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept running into roadblocks because I was like, unless I can help people clean up their past, they're just creating the future on unstable foundation.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense to me because, you know, from an energetic perspective, yes, you've got that wound within you, and so energetically you're attracting those that will make it bigger and bigger until you can actually release it. And
exactly.
So it's so important. Now,
exactly.
You know, we're going to have to go to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want to hear your perspective. There are a lot of people out there who, when they're experiencing something, they'll say, why is this happening to me? Or the more evolved might say, well, why is this happening? But you've got a different take on it, and I'm going to want to hear that in just a few moments. So we're going to go to a quick break, but more with Christine Hassler when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Join the Pacific Northwest EFT Tappers at the 6th Annual Tappers Gathering, March 19th at Bastyr University in Seattle. You will learn EFT applications, forge a strong community, and share healing stories. The event raises money and awareness for EFT tapping scientific research. Net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit to further prove the efficacy of EFT. Bring your cards and information for a fun and inspiring day of networking. Visit nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. And that's Benny Mathers playing something that's got a hangover in it. And we're not talking about the sweet kind of hangovers today, though, are we, Benny?
No, but if you want to move here, there's the sweetest hangovers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, on the break, Christine Hassler and I were talking, and we've discovered that not only are we both Christine, but we're both Christines originally from Texas. So go figure, you know. Anyway, we were talking about her wonderful book called Expectation Hangover. And we were, you know, chatting about the perspective that people have when something happens, you know, whether it's an illness, a breakup, a change in jobs, even like getting run into, a little crash on a side road. People will often say, why did this happen to me? And the more evolved might say, well, why did this happen? You've got a different take on it, Christine. What's that?
Yes, I don't like asking why this happened, because it keeps us in victim mentality and it keeps us in analysis. And really, people don't change by analyzing. I see that
Say that again. That's
people
important.
Don't change through analyzing.
Yeah.
And that's where people can get stuck in therapy, and that's where people can get stuck in the personal growth spiral. Uh-huh. They can explain themselves to death and my mother this and my father that, and growing up this and my belief that, and like, oh, it's great to have awareness. Uh-huh. But really how we change is we adopt a learning-oriented approach to life, and we ask instead, what am I learning? Because basically what that does is it shifts us out of victim, it moves us into curiosity, and it helps us heal the issue. Because when we believe that life happens to us and not for us, mm-hmm. we constantly suffer.
Right.
And we're not empowered in any way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
And so when we can go to, wow, okay, life is happening. This is happening for me. You know, now, I don't recommend spiritual bypassing and going, oh, there's a silver lining in everything. And like, I'm just going through this divorce right now. And there's, you know, I can relate to that because that happened to me.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to like move right through it. You know, like even though I knew my divorce was the best thing for both of us, it hurt.
Yep.
I had to cry and feel it and talk to friends and give myself time to heal it and also ask, what am I learning?
Uh-huh.
You know, what's here for me? And I wrote about this in the book. Someone said to me, actually, when I was going through my divorce, he said to me, Christine, milk this for all it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, if you never want to go through this again, milk this for all it's worth. Don't just get over it. Go into it. Dig for every piece of gold that you can possibly find.
And that's brilliant.
Oh, it's brilliant. It brought up so much, not just my relationship with him, but just my beliefs about marriage. Like, I had discovered I projected all my financial security onto the masculine, onto men. Like, that I had this thing about being chosen. There were all these beliefs and old wounding that I uncovered. And, you know, not only did mining for that help heal my heart, but it totally shifted my career path as well, because I stepped more into my empowerment as a woman.
Right.
So it's like, even though it kind of can feel daunting, I'm so passionate about helping people really go into their disappointment rather than just try to get over it.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the your perspective about not trying to do the spiritual bypassing, because I think there are a lot of people out there right now who think that they don't have to really process and release old stuff, because if they're spiritual enough, their vibration will handle it for them. And, you know, I found that that's just basically not true.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, what I really have seen in my own life and working with so many thousands of people at this point is that the thing that makes the biggest distinction between someone who is happy and content and even successful to some degree, and I don't just mean money, but really successful in their life, feeling on purpose, and someone who's not, is their awareness of how much choice they have in their life.
Huh.
Because the thing is, we don't have control. I don't believe that we have control, and people are addicted to control.
Uh-huh.
It's a master addiction.
Yep.
So people fight for control, and we don't have any, but we do have choice. So it's like, you know, I can remember two clients, both were diagnosed with an illness, and one responded with, "This is awful, this is terrible, poor me." You know, kind of how she got love and attention was being a victim through it.
Right.
And the other one was like, "I'm sad, I'm scared, I'm going to feel my feelings, but I'm going to look into this. I'm going to go to every health practitioner I can go to. I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to actually be kind to the disease and not try to fight it."
Mm-hmm.
And guess who got better?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
yeah,
and
that
so
makes sense.
We have that choice. And I love the, you know, Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. It's just such a great book. And there's one passage in it, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, in between stimulus and response is a choice. And in that choice is our greatest freedom.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, that makes so much sense. You know, it's funny because years ago when I had the early stages of cancer, I didn't tell my family for a full year because I knew that I would get some positive attention because of it, and I didn't want to get myself in that situation. So it's really that kind of choice that you're talking about with illness is very, very important. And, so I love that. So anyway, what does an expectation hangover feel like? What does it look like?
Oh, it's so fun. Well, and the reason I call it a hangover is because there's symptoms that are similar to a hangover, like your head is aching, maybe not physically.
Right.
But usually with an expectation hangover, your mind is spinning. You're obsessing, you're spinning about thoughts, like you're going back in the past, you're trying to figure things out, like you get very heady. There's often a sense of regret. There's lack of motivation. You can feel sick to your stomach. Like, you just want to pull the covers over your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so symptoms of an expectation hangover are like that. You just feel stuck. You may feel a little depressed. You may have a high level of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Or you may go to the other extreme where you just go into uber manic mode. And, like, you're just all of a sudden, like, crazy busy or cleaning out every drawer in your house or, you know, going out every night. You know, it's sort of like that something's off balance. Either
right.
you're too low and you're feeling yuck that way, or you're completely disconnected and manic.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will distract themselves. Is there a problem with
sure.
that?
A major problem, which I think you know. Major, major problem. So, you know, the ways we distract ourselves is work, you know, getting invested in other people. This is something I notice in a lot of, like, people that are big caretakers that tend to rescue other people instead of dealing with their own stuff.
Yep.
They just go and, like, take projects on.
Right.
So that's one degree. And then the numbing, so over anything, overeating, over drinking, over dating, over sexing, over watching TV, over Facebooking, you know,
right.
or, like, being on the computer. Just anything to numb is a big one. And this is, and I write about this in the book, too. You know, a lot of what leads into addiction is a series of untreated expectation hangovers. Because if your coping strategy is alcohol or drugs or food or dating or sex or whatever it may be, or even work, I believe work is an addiction.
Sure.
It reaches a tipping point where since that's what you use to cope, it crosses over the line into addiction because you can't live without it.
Right. So what's the treatment for an expectation hangover?
I wish I could say, you know, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. It's not that simple. And again, I write the books that, you know, I needed most. In my 20s, I wrote the books that I needed. And, you know, I wrote Expectation Hangover in my 30s. And I have great respect for the personal transformation industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like it can mislead people because it's a business and it's very quick fixy. You know, just do this one thing and all your problems will be solved.
Right.
Just buy this one product and you will get everything you want.
If only, yes.
If only that were true. And I really wanted to create a treatment plan and really write a book that people could dive into and it really would heal things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the most comprehensive book I could write. I mean, my publisher made me cut about 40,000 words from it. So imagine the first draft. And it's not a beach read. It's full of exercises. It's full of meditations you can download. Because the treatment plan that I've seen work for me, and I've had lots of expectation hangovers. I mean, we haven't even talked about all of them. And I've had some things that people thought I could never get over that I have. And then, again, working with so many people at this point, the way to treat it is first to understand why they happen, which we've talked about a little bit, and second, to treat them emotionally first, because we want to avoid our feelings, but the emotions need to come up and out first, mentally, in terms of our thoughts and our beliefs, behaviorally, in terms of our actions, and then spiritually. And we can't just do any one part of that. We have to do all four.
Right.
So, you know, that's what the treatment plan takes people through.
Okay, so can you give us an example of you know, somebody who's had an expectation hangover sort of going through these different stages?
Sure. So well, give me an example of one and I'll.
Okay. Let's say somebody crashed and burned in their career.
Okay. So like they got fired, we'll say, or something like that.
Yep.
Okay. So first is, you know, just the awareness that we don't have control, knowing that you're not being punished, like you didn't do anything wrong. You know, in terms of that, and that everything is a learning opportunity. So it's asking, what am I learning? And to move into acceptance of it's happening. You know, Byron Katie, who's one of my favorite teachers, says, when we fight with reality, we only lose 100% of the time.
She's great, yes.
That's the first thing, is moving into acceptance, not going, why did this happen? And then I'm fighting with it, and I can't believe it, and my boss this, and talking about it, and blah, blah, blah. And then you move into the treatment plan, starting with the emotional, and the big difference is to understand the difference between recycling feelings and releasing them. So
versus releasing.
Recycling versus releasing. So we recycle feelings when, let's say, Christine, you and I go to lunch and I'm just angry and I talk about it and I like get it off my chest, but then I just keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking about it.
Been there, done that.
And in the process, I'm judging myself, I'm judging the other person, or I have a good cry. But while I'm crying, I'm thinking, oh, I should get over this. I'm so weak. I look ugly when I cry. Like, we have this commentary. So we as humans don't know how to let emotions move through us without judgment or commentary or obsession. And there's two techniques I teach in the book. One is release writing, where you just get paper and you just let yourself mind dump and write. It's faster than you can, you know, you think much faster than you can write, so it kind of looks like scribble.
Right.
Until you feel a shift in your emotional state, and then you tear it up or burn it. This is not journaling. This is not processing. This is about getting emotion out.
Okay.
And the other technique I teach is the temper tantrum technique. And if you've ever seen a little kid have a temper tantrum, if you don't interrupt them or tell them they're wrong, if you just let them ride it all the way through, first they're yelling and screaming and wailing, and then they kind of are sobbing, and then they turn to a whimper, and then they kind of rock themselves, and then they want ice cream.
Right. There's this release, yes.
There's a release, and they move all the way through it, and then they're done. It's up and out. It's over.
Yeah.
So we need to have adult temper tantrums.
Yeah,
you know, we
I
need
agree.
To learn how to move that emotion through our body.
That release is so important. We're,
I know we're mid thought here, but we need to go to another quick break. More about the expectation hangover and how to treat it with Christine Hasser when we return here in a few moments.
Girls can wear jeans, cut their hair short, wear shirts and boots. It's okay to be a boy, but for a boy to look like a girl is degrading. Because you think that being a girl is degrading. But secretly, I'd love to know what it's like, wouldn't you? What it feels like for a girl.
What is a master soul gardener? With Nomi Bahar, you can be one too. Her revolutionary Gates of Power method is a comprehensive program that addresses every aspect of yourself and gives you the tools to tend to the seeds of your soul's garden. Let Nomi guide you through and beyond what's holding you back and help you embrace the life you've always dreamed of. To learn more about upcoming classes and workshops, visit gatesofpower.com today.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What it feels like for a girl.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Christine Hasler, author of several books. She leads retreats. She coaches people. And her latest book is called Expectation Hangover. Free yourself from your past, change your present, and get what you really want. Now, Christine, before the break, we were talking about somebody who's, say, fired and going through the various stages of dealing with this expectation hangover. And you had talked about sort of coming to this place of acceptance and then releasing the emotions as opposed to sort of stuffing them and you know, sort of getting past them without actually the release. What happens after the emotional release?
So a big part of the emotional release is learning about self-compassion. We suck at being compassionate with ourselves.
We do.
We're incredibly hard on ourselves. And so a big part of releasing the emotions is knowing that there's one part of you that's having the emotion, mm-hmm. and then there's this other part of you that's inside saying, it's okay, let it out, mm-hmm. didn't do anything wrong here. And finding that place of self-compassion is key. Oftentimes we look for someone to love us the way uh-huh. we need to love ourselves.
Right.
And so on the emotional level, it's really being that, no matter if you're a man or a woman, really being that unconditional loving mother or parent, we could say, mm-hmm. yourself.
Right.
And then after that, after you, you know, really move through the emotion, and emotion can come back up, but usually there's kind of like that first layer that's the toughest to get through, mm-hmm. and you're not spending so much energy repressing it, uh-huh. then you can move to the mental level where, so on every level of the treatment plan, I teach through analogy. And so on the emotional level, I teach that you become the surfer. You really learn to ride the waves uh-huh. of your emotion.
Yeah.
And you stand on that board of compassion, right? That's yeah. like, that keeps you steady.
Yeah. And you can't control those waves either.
You can't control them. You can't yeah. control them. And you ride it all the way to the beach, you uh-huh. know?
Right.
And then on the mental level, you become the horseback rider. So our minds are like these galloping horses, you know? We just think and think and think and think and think. But we are the rider. We have reins, and we can go, whoa, and stop it, or we can use the reins to redirect.
Uh-huh.
So on the mental level, I talked to a lot of neuroscientists and learned a lot about our brains. And our brains form these things called neural nets that are like grooves, programmed grooves, created by repetitive thoughts. So if I have a lot of thoughts about not being enough uh-huh. on some level, uh-huh. then anything that happens in life, my brain's going to default to, oh, this happened because I'm not enough.
Right.
That's like the thinking. Or before I'm going into a social event, I'm not enough, like I'm not like these other people,
sure.
and produce anxiety. So the great thing is we can reprogram our brain by thinking different thoughts. So it's really becoming an observer of your mind and thinking different thoughts and looking at beliefs that you have and really questioning them and rewriting your story. You know, I take people through a big process in the book on how to rewrite their story.
Yeah, which is very powerful.
Hugely powerful. I mean, the story we tell ourselves about our life is the story that we live. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to tell yourself a different story.
Right.
And there's some other things on the mental level that we work through, but I won't go through all of them. And then on behavioral level, you become the scientist. You become the observer. You start to understand why you behave the way you do. And most of our programming, most of our behavior is motivated by our unconscious mind,
uh-huh.
which is responsible for about 95% of our programming.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? 95%.
Oh, I know. And you can change the numbers. Like, you can be more aware of your subconscious, unconscious thoughts.
Uh-huh.
It just takes a little work.
Right.
So you look at your behavior, like you look at what your compensatory strategies are. Like I referenced, mine is I was an extreme overachiever, and mm-hmm. that was the compensatory strategy for not feeling enough. So
right.
other compensatory strategies are, maybe you're a people pleaser because that's the way you get love. Maybe mm-hmm. you're a performer because that's the way you deflect from any intimacy or things getting strange
right.
or awkward. Maybe you're a judger. Like if you judge everything, like that's how you kind of keep control, or you might be a control freak. Or maybe you're a rescuer or a caretaker because that's how you get your sense of worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you also look at your avoidance trap. Like, as a coach, people spend way, 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 way more time avoiding what they don't want than truly taking action towards what they do.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, it's interesting and frustrating for them once I point it out.
Uh-huh.
But they come to me and they're like, I really want a relationship. But then they spent all this time talking about how the opposite sex sucks, or the same sex if they're in a homosexual relationship.
Uh-huh.
Like, people suck. That's the commentary.
Right.
Sorry to use the word, like, suck, but that's what they say.
Yeah, no, that makes
sense.
And it's allowed on radio, Christine.
Exactly. Or, like, you know, why I can't, or I don't like online dating, or it's so hard, or da-da-da-da. You know,
uh-huh.
all the while they're just trying to avoid rejection
uh-huh.
and putting themselves out there.
Right.
Rather than, like, really being intentional about what they want. So
yeah.
on the behavioral level, you start to understand, like, what are your compensatory strategies? What are your avoidance traps?
Uh-huh.
And start to identify more what your superpowers are, like your core strengths and your gifts, and your core values,
mm-hmm.
and you stop moving away from your avoidance traps and toward your core values.
Right, right. So after that, there's one more step, isn't there?
After that is the spiritual level, And this is where we become the seeker, and mm-hmm. we really investigate why does that happen, and we start to look at our life like one big school and identify themes and lessons mm-hmm. and like what our core life curriculum is and start to understand our karma and make peace with it and be uh-huh. like, wow, this really did happen for a reason, and now I understand why. And this is also where we go into things like surrender and forgiveness.
Right.
So after you've done all that work, then it's time to surrender. Then it's time to really let it go and let God, higher power, whatever you want to call, lead a little more mm-hmm. and also move into that place of forgiveness. It's way easier to forgive and actually way more effective if you've moved through the anger, the guilt, the judgment, all the beliefs, all the behavior, like all that stuff. Like
sure.
you just have a cleaner slate. So the forgiveness process is really kind of like the... I have it in the spiritual section because I think forgiveness is a very spiritual thing we do.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
In order to forgive, we don't look through the lens of good, bad, right, or wrong. We really look through the lens of no judgment. Mm-hmm. And no judgment to me is spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And from an
energetic perspective, it seems like forgiveness is really about cutting the cords, because when we're holding on to stuff, it's like we are staying attached to that person, that situation. So it has to be done at a very high frequency level.
100%. And I think the other thing that stops people is they think that if they forgive, it means they're condoning the behavior. No, it just uh-huh. means you're letting go of the judgments that are keeping you trapped.
Right.
And you also don't need to, like, you know, if someone hurt you, you don't need to call them up and say, I forgive you. It's
right.
something that can be done on your own. It's yeah. not a conversation you need to have.
Yeah, yeah. And you can forgive the person, the situation, but it doesn't mean that you're saying it was okay. You know, I mean, even if you see the purpose in it, you know, they've got karma coming to them associated with their mm-hmm. piece of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So you've got a slightly different take on the law of attraction. Can you please share with our listeners? Oh, actually, I'm looking at time. I'm getting so engrossed in the conversation. I keep missing the fact that I've got this clock with six digits, seconds and everything here, and I keep sort of going past. So hold that thought, and we'll be right back in a few moments.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge. And when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Epcher Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. Love that song, Benny. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Oldie but a goodie.
Yes, yes. And I remember when it was new.
I actually saw Chicago in concert a few years ago when they stopped by through Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, I was probably one of the younger generations there, and they kind of gave me that look. I'm like, I don't know. I'm here for the great music, too. So yeah, you can turn your eyes and look upstage, because I'm doing the same thing.
I'm really enjoying my conversation today with Christine Hassler. We're talking about expectation hangovers and the way to take those expectation disappointments, those changes in our lives that aren't actually controlled by us, and shifting it into something very positive. Now, Christine, before the break, I asked you the question, and then I, you know, so rudely didn't allow you to answer, and that is, you have a different perspective on the law of attraction. What's your perspective on it?
Well, I think that the law of attraction exists 100%.
Uh-huh.
But the way we understand it and the way it's sort of taught in terms about how it works is not very accurate. And okay, I think it leaves a lot of people with an expectation hangover. I can't tell you how many people have said, I watched The Secret, I've done my vision boards, and it's still not, I still like don't have money.
Right.
The thing that that attracts things to us more than anything is our energy, and our energy is most influenced by our belief systems,
mm-hmm,
and most predominantly our unconscious belief systems.
Uh-huh.
So even if I believe, oh, sure, I believe, like I can have a lot of money, I believe I want to be wealthy, but if I have a core misunderstanding that I'm not worthy,
uh-huh,
or that I grew up being told you have to work really, really hard for money,
right,
and I don't want to work very hard,
uh-huh.
Or if I believe that, you know, if I have a lot of money, I'm going to become too powerful and I'm going to be mean to other people or whatever it is. Like, we have these kind of core beliefs, and that's what is the energetic broadcast.
Right.
So when I work with people, we absolutely talk about co-creating and attracting things in our life, but we look at it from what is your belief system broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Not just, and the vision boards are great. It's a great reminder,
uh-huh,
but we have to work with our belief systems, and we have to work with our energetics, and we have to feel what we believe.
Uh-huh.
Because it used to be like, you know, I'll try to use an example from my life. I could think, I'm confident. Like, I've achieved all these things, but I didn't feel, mm-hmm, confident,
right,
in my life.
Yeah, and those emotions are essential to charging the field, to attract
to charging it.
Yeah.
It's essential to charging it. And I see this so much with people that want to attract, like, love and relationship in their life.
Uh-huh.
They attract it from a place of lack,
uh-huh,
from wanting to fill a void. And they may attract someone, but it isn't that great of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to feel whole and complete. Let yourself feel the longing. Like, I'm single right now, and I would love an amazing partner.
Uh-huh.
So I allow myself to feel the longing for it, to really feel the longing. But I don't suffer over it because I know nothing is missing.
Right, right. And, you know, Christine, I think one of the other issues with some of the approaches that people use with the law of attraction is that there's a lack of trust in the process itself. So even if you can get yourself to clear out those beliefs and visualize or use the affirmations or, you know, whatever approach you want to take. And so there you've sort of created it and you're feeling good about it. And yet people will end up repeating it over and over and over again, which is
right. It's
a core belief that they're not actually addressing. And that is that they don't trust it's going to be taken care of unless they control it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where we become totally disconnected from the truth of life, that we're co-creators.
Uh-huh.
That we are 100% co-creators, and we're not in this alone. And it's not all up to us.
Right.
You know? And that, to me, that's a relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you give a lot of exercises in these books. Do you have any recommendations for what people should do on a daily basis just to help them sort of be aware and deal with these expectation hangovers?
Well, I think that one of the biggest things is, and this is simple, this isn't, you know, mind-blowing, mm-hmm. is gratitude. Like, you can either be upset about what you don't have or grateful for all the amazing things you have. And,
uh-huh.
and I do this exercise with clients, and when they talk about the things that are going wrong, I can get them to list way more things that are going right, you
uh-huh.
know,
right.
like 10 fingers, 10 toes, you're able to walk, like,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
like, there's so much to be grateful for, and that's not a spiritual bypass, but it's really, it gets us out of the energy of hopeless, helpless.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is create agreements in your life, not expectations. We expect people to be mind readers. We expect things from people they can't give us. You know, one of the things in the book at the end in terms of expectation hangover prevention is, don't go to a Chinese restaurant when you really want nachos. They don't serve them.
Right.
They don't serve them. Even if you bring them the ingredients, they are not going to know what to do.
Right.
So when you want nachos, go to a Mexican restaurant.
So give me an example of how somebody might be, you know, implementing the, you know, going
sure.
to the wrong restaurant in their life.
Sure. Say that your whole life you wanted your dad to say, I am so proud of you.
Uh-huh.
And you keep doing these things and calling him up and telling him about it.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that's good. Well, what's the next thing?
Uh-huh.
And he's not saying that, oh, my God, you're amazing. I am so proud of you. But you keep going to him when you want these nachos of validation.
Right, right.
And he is the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Instead, there's a friend in your life who is a Mexican restaurant
uh-huh.
who you can call up and will go, oh, my God, Christine. That's awesome. You rock. I am proud of you.
Uh-huh.
Go to her or him when that's what you need.
Right. That makes perfect sense. So we just got a couple minutes left, Christine.
Yeah.
Can you just offer our listeners a little guidance about these expectation hangovers and how to shift our lives so we make lemonade out of lemons?
Oh, well, we've talked about a lot of them. I think a big thing is acceptance. A big thing is asking, what am I learning?
Mm-hmm.
A big thing is making sure you have support in your life, you know, people that that you can go to that are those, you know, Mexican restaurants when you need them.
Right.
And I think overall, it's just really having a learning-oriented approach to life. Like, for example, I went skiing last weekend,
uh-huh.
and it's the first time that I've gone skiing in 10 years, and the last time I went skiing, I blew my knee out.
Oh, dear.
And so I was really scared,
oh,
and
yeah.
I, you know, get on the slopes, and I'm, you know, I'm doing okay, but my feet are hurting, and I'm not having, like, that much fun,
uh-huh.
And my friend is like, can I give you a few tips? And my ego wanted to be like, oh, like, you know, no, whatever. But I adopted that learning-oriented approach to life. I'm like, you know what? This my system isn't working, so
uh-huh.
I'm going to chuck everything I know, and I'm going to be like, yes, teach me.
Okay.
And she told me one thing, and it sounded completely foreign. Like, hold your arms way in front of you. Hold your poles parallel to the ground, and hold your arms in front of you. And I did it, and it felt foreign, but it shifted things. And then she told me the next thing. She's like, lean down the mountain and look down the mountain. Only turn your hips. Don't turn your shoulders. Like, you're going to fall down the mountain. And I was
right.
like, that sounds crazy.
Uh-huh.
But it worked. So my point is, I had to get entirely out of my comfort zone and be willing to drop everything I thought I knew to grow.
Uh-huh.
And that's the opportunity expectation hangovers provide. Get out of your comfort zone. Drop everything you know. Drop the expectations. Drop the things you've planned on. And get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because that's how you grow. Now, does that mean you don't have goals? No. You can still have goals, but you pursue your goals with high intention and involvement, but low attachment. Uh-huh. Meaning, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to believe in this. I'm going to have the intention. I'm not going to have doubt. However, my happiness, my emotional stability, my okayness, my worthiness does not depend on the result.
Beautiful. And I want to mention for our listeners, your website is Christine Hassler, HASSLER.com. And it's a great website. You've got some great videos there and blogs. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. I really appreciate it. Again, the book is Expectation Hangover. Thank you, Christine.
Oh, my pleasure. And if people want to listen to me coach people live on the air, my podcast is Over It and On With It, which is something I'm super excited about. So
wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.